Welcome to the Williams-Neekin YB Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Doug. Good morning.
Who's all with us?
You and me and a silent guest.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don'll be here shortly, I'm sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. Who else spoke up?
Whitney. Leonard.
Oh, hi, Whitney. Good morning. When are your mom and dad coming back? Tomorrow? Today?
Wednesday, I think. So, yes, tomorrow.
Okay. And how's the beautiful baby?
She's doing good.
Good.
Smiling at me.
Uh-huh. Good. All right. Donna's not here yet.
Well, I'm going to mute myself so I can start eating because I have to leave real quickly
okay.
After the call.
Okay.
I was about to rock it, so...
Okay, thanks, Doug.
I may unmute myself. I have something to say, but then I'll try to be quiet.
Good morning,
all right, well, you guys have a good day if I don't get a chance to talk anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for being here. Well, we have several people on the call that are not on the WebEx. And if you're having trouble getting on the WebEx, let us know. Maybe you're traveling to work or something. But if you're needing help getting on the WebEx, just give us a holler. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary Lou.
Good morning, Margaret. I felt like such a smarty today because Donna was going to talk about the non-GMO shopping guide, and I actually got it up on the WebEx.
Oh, you did?
I did. So, anyway, good morning. Who joined us?
This is Donna. Good morning.
Good morning, Donna. Okay, well, this is Tuesday, Terrific Transparent Tuesday. And welcome to our health style call. Our mission is to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, become more mind and body fit. Each day we have a different leader that is dug up some great information for us, and I call this more like a mastermind group. But Tuesdays, if anybody would like to give us an idea of what this call has meant to them, what kind of results they wanted, what kind of results they're getting. This is the day we'd like to share that.
This is Nancy, and I've just learned so many good things that I would not have learned elsewhere. So I sure appreciate all of you with your input. And we come away with all these little nuggets that I'm always so excited to share with all my friends. So I really appreciate it, and just learning how to keep my body more in tune. And so I do appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. You've been one to really give us you've given us a lot of information. So.
And I have lost a few inches in my midsection that I'm trying to work on. So I don't know if I could just get that area more proportioned, then I feel like I'm back to my old clothes size. And it's a little hard to button and zip your flax. That's not too good.
Well, good for you. Good for you. That's, I think we're all on a mission of wanting to be the healthiest people that we possibly can be. So, I do know that It's always been a struggle for me as far as the weight goes. Somebody told me the other day, you just don't believe yourself thin yet. And maybe that's it. I do know one time I was a size 6, and every time I looked in the mirror, I still saw a heavy Mary Lou. So there really is something there between the ears. And so there's our affirmations every single day. We have got to, you know, we have to believe it doesn't do us much good no matter how much we try if we do not believe it. Donna certainly believed in herself. Donna, how many pounds did you release or give away or whatever?
40 pounds. I still have more to go. Kind of at a standstill. I'm really working at it this week. But I will tell you, over the weekend, I had like an aha moment. It was kind of nice. And I've realized this before, but it really hit me Sunday. We stopped at Trader Joe's, and we came out. The car beside us had plucked really close. So after losing 40 pounds, it's kind of nice to be able to get in your car easier.
Aww.
I'm not parked beside you. I don't have enough. Squeezing in.
Oh, well, good for you.
Just a little
good for you. Yes. Yes, we went for a walk last night, and believe it or not, it was chilly out there. I think Larry said it was 66, and so I put on my long sweats and put on a sweatshirt, and he said, is that going to be warm enough? I said, oh, I think so. I went outside, turned around, came right back in, grabbed a jacket, and it was actually a jacket that was the liner to my Columbia parka that I had up in Washington, and I put it on, and I zipped it up, and there was room in there, and I said, I don't think this jacket ever fit me like this, so that was a good feeling. I know that it makes a big difference. So today, anybody else want to share? Okay. Today, Donna's going to share with us the shop non-GMO. She sent me a non-GMO shopping guide, and I actually was able to get it up on the screen this morning, and then I'll send it to all of you. But those of you that are on the WebEx, you can see it here. Let's see how big I can make it. So, Donna, if you want to go ahead, just tell me when you need me to change a page. I'll be happy to do that.
Actually, I don't have a phone in my office room, so I'm in the dining room, so I can't see.
Oh, okay.
But basically, I was going to go to page one, and I was just going to talk. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, because if we send this to everyone, there's so much information. It's too much information to share on a phone, because it's, what, 12 pages long. And I believe Monty has shared some of this with us before as well. But anyways, what is a GMO? And a genetically modified organisms are made by forcing genes from one species of bacteria, viruses, animals, or humans into the DNA of a food crop or animal in order to introduce a new trait. And then it says, why should I avoid GMOs? The American Academy of Environmental Medicine reported several animal studies indicate serious health risks associated with GM foods, including infertility, immune problems, accelerated aging, faulty insulin regulation, and changes in major organs and the gastrointestinal system. They urge physicians to prescribe healthier, non-GMO foods to everyone. You know, this really gets me, because you know what? We have no idea what we're eating, because, you know, they're saying they're forcing genes from one species, you know, bacteria, viruses, animals, or humans, into the DNA of a food crop or animal in order to introduce a new trait. What are we eating? It's like, this is really scary. And that one little boy is not in this article. This one little boy almost died in a reaction to corn, and it was genetically modified corn, and he almost died. I don't know exactly why. It's really bad. And the thing I was going to talk about today was on page 12, things that we don't realize that are genetically modified in things we purchase, and it's invisible genetically modified ingredients. And it said, processed foods often have hidden GM sources unless they are organic or declared non-GMO. And
hey, Donna, you're kind of breaking up. Yeah, have you got a headset on? Is it wiggling or?
No, I don't have a headset on. I have the phone.
Oh, on the speaker? Okay. Okay, just kind of talk straight out that speaker then.
Okay, is this better? And this
And did you say we're on page 12? Is this where the vitamins and supplements are?
No, it says invisible GM ingredients.
Okay, I've got to find it then.
It's just a list of, it's after vitamins and supplements.
After vitamins and supplements.
And they're saying that these hidden sources are in ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C. I won't read the whole list because it's a whole lot. But it's also in aspartame, which is also called amino sweet, NutraSweet, Equal, Spoonful. I've never heard of this before. Gendia and Kendrel, C-A-N-D-R-E-L. But it's in things also when we bake. It's in baking soda, it's in canola oil, which is also called grapeseed oil. It's in caramel coloring. Do you see on this list? Do you see that list?
No. I can't find it. What page number is it?
It's next to the last. It's page 12. It's the third one from the last. But it's also
I found it. Invisible GM ingredients. Okay, I found it.
Okay. But this list is really long, and we don't really think about this sometimes. And it's also in condensed milk, confectionery sugar, corn flour, corn sugar, corn syrup, corn. It's just in all these different things. It's listed as glucose.
Okay, somebody's breathing quite hard into the phone. Did you just get back from a walk, maybe? If you could mute yourself, star 6.
And also, MSG is a genetically modified ingredient. Soy flour, soy isolate, soy lecithin, soy milk, soy oil, soy protein isolate, and soy sauce. I've been buying the organic soy sauce. It's also in sugar, unless it's cane sugar. It's in tamari. Oh, it's just in all these products, like teriyaki marinade, textured vegetable protein. And not only does, textured vegetable protein, it also has a lot of MSG in it as well. It's being genetically modified.
Wow.
And tofu, isn't this list amazing? Whey and whey powder, vegetable oil, there's so many. And I guess everyone can see this list. But isn't this interesting that it's all in here?
That's right. And, there it goes. We have heard that 91% of the soy products are genetically modified. So, and here's your list. Soy flour, soy isolate, soy lecithin, soy milk, soy oil, soy protein isolate, soy sauce. And we talked about that. Bragg's Amino, is it called, is a very good, clean choice.
But they said look for the non-GMO project field. I've never seen these before. I have to start looking. But they do have, in this article, they have different baby foods and infant formula you can buy, alternative dairy products, beverages, body care, breads and baked goods. Also, these are products you can find that do not have GMOs in it. And they're, there's these different brands, and when you get this document, you'll see there's a lot of foods that don't have genetically modified food in But I don't know. It's like, why is the government allowing all this to happen like this in our food? It's killing us.
At this last page, and I'm gonna read it because we do have a lot of people that are on the call that can't see the WebEx.
Okay.
But it said these companies support your right to choose the non-GMO products and have contributed toward printing this guide. And those brands are the Nutiva, which we've been talking about with our coconut oil for sure. Eden Foods, we've talked about that before. This West Soy, and I don't know about Kamut, K-A-M-U-T, Organic Valley, Whole Soy and Company, Earth Balance, Sunridge Farms, and then Bean Itos. I'm not familiar with Bean Itos, but those are good brands to be watching for because they're in our corner. They're rooting for us. For more information, you can visit responsibletechnology.org. The most comprehensive source of GMO health risk information on the web. That's responsibletechnology.org.
You know, Mary Lou, also on there, they talk about dairy products. It said, this is page 5, some U.S. dairy farms injected genetically engineered recombinant, I think that's how you pronounce it, it's the bovine growth hormone, also called RBST into their cows to boost milk production. And then there are now many dairy products with labels that indicate they do not use RBGH or RBST. I know if you like ice cream, I don't eat it too often, but Trader Joe's, your ice cream is non-GMO. They don't use the growth hormone. The same people don't realize, and I go to my podiatrist, and she has a little girl, and she won't feed her little girl anything that has any of this in it. Just only feeds her girl organic things. Because, I don't know, just a few years ago, the little Mexican girls, they were starting to develop earlier growing breasts and things. And when they're like 8 years old, and they found out it was due to the chicken they eat. You know, all the hormones are in the chicken. And everything, you know, this affects all the little girls that make some, develop sooner.
So that's right.
My podiatrist, she said she doesn't let her little girl have anything with this in it. And someone told me the other day, well, anyway, it just really affects children, especially little girls. I'm sure it affects the little boys somehow, too. But it's just interesting that they do this to our food, and they really have no long-term study on this, as far as I know. I don't know what else, Mary Lou.
No, you know, when you talk about no long-term studies, I think I read somewhere that this was just in the 90s where we started getting this GMO. I don't remember the exact year, but it might be in that movie Genetic Roulette. We sent that the trailer out to everybody. But, you know, the neighbor asked me, and people are always saying, okay, so what is GMO? Well, this is the best sentence for us to memorize. Genetically modified organisms are made by forcing genes from one species, such as bacteria, viruses, animals, or humans, into the DNA of a food crop or animal in order to introduce a new trait. And I know, excuse me, somebody asked me about it just the other day, and they said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, the thing that popped into my head, and I don't know where I saw this, but I remember one time seeing where they were messing with the seeds of a tomato and injecting something from fish And, you know, tomatoes have never tasted the same to me since that day. And,
you know, Mary Lou, it's funny she say about tomatoes. I was hearing you say something, too. The reason tomatoes don't taste as good is unless you grow them yourself or buy them from a farmer who grows them, it's because that genetically modified gene, it takes the flavor out of the tomato.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if they're injecting a fish gene into a tomato, what if you're allergic to fish? What if you're allergic to some of the things that are in there? You have
right.
no idea what you're eating.
Right. That's exactly why so many people, I believe, have all of a sudden had this intolerance to wheat. Yes, there are people that have celiac disease, but I think a lot of the wheat is not necessarily the wheat, but it's the genetically modified stuff.
You know, if you go to the health food store, I was at Mom's one day, and I needed to buy some bulgur wheat, and I was looking at it. Right beside each other was organic bulgur wheat for, you know, the process. And if you look at the organic, it's bigger. It's nice little pieces of the wheat. And if you look at the process, it was all these little pieces of wheat plus the little chaff, I guess, you know, this little, the covering of the wheat, I guess, is in it, too.
Husk, like the husk.
Right. So I bought the organic. I cannot eat the regular. I have to buy organic.
Uh-huh.
And I think you're right. I think that's why more and more people are allergic to the wheat. It's overprocessed, for one thing, and then it's genetically modified. And it makes you wonder, well, what is in it? And I agree with you. I think there's so many people with celiac disease, they just have the wheat. It's a genetically modified wheat that, you know, makes the problem with eating it.
Right. Anybody have any input here? It says, hello?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is Doug. And I'm done eating pretty much. At that book, Wheat Belly, I think Monty's talked about it too. I have it, and I'm in the process of wanting to read it the second time. But that physician that wrote that book makes a really a pretty strong case.
Is it about the GMO?
Well, it's not about GMO. It's about wheat itself. But he goes through the history of what's happened to wheat over the last, you know, like 50 years,
uh-huh.
and the breeding programs have, in order to produce a higher yield in wheat, a bigger head, they crossbred some species that were not adjacent to each other, or in other words, they made a hybrid that didn't exist before, and in the process, it changed some of the chemistry of the way the wheat is constructed chemically, and some of that stuff doesn't agree with the human body. And that's so basically he's saying, but you know, it may be my conclusion, I can't remember, that's why I have to read it, but this all happened before people became aware of GMOs. And before they were actually doing the genetic modifications, you know, with injecting genes from one to another. But he thinks, or I concluded, that the wheat came out with the same result as if it were a GMO. Because, you know, there are plants that humans can't eat.
Right.
Because they don't agree with us, no matter who you are. And if you take a variety of wheat that never was intended for human consumption, because if you eat it by itself, it'll make you sick, and you combine that with the other food supply type of wheat in order to get a bigger seed, then you're asking for trouble. And that's his tracing of the history of the wheat development program really implies very strongly that that's exactly what happened, and no one really realizes it because it wasn't really an outward GMO project, because it was earlier in the history of GMO development, you know, the people that are, you know, doing that kind of work. So it kind of got underneath the radar on everybody. And people just think, well, wheat is wheat, but the wheat that people were eating 100 years ago is not chemically the same as the wheat that we're eating today.
And, you know, that word chemically is just, when you said, you know, they're interjecting, putting other wheats together, that's enough for me to want to stay away from it.
Yeah.
That's become a very popular book. I've got a neighbor across the street told me he just read it. And,
what's
the name of the book again? Wheat?
The Wheat Belly. Wheat Belly, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it's that or... I can't remember the. See if I. It's in my cabinet here, I think. If you don't mind me making a little noise to find it.
No.
I think that is the name of it.
And you can get. I know Costco even has the book. I went over to Sam's the other day to get it, and they do not have it. I searched, but I'll be going to Costco Friday, so I will definitely pick one up.
I think maybe Mercola has it on his website.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't remember where I got it. I think I got it through Newsmax some way, where it was on one of their Newsmax health promotion mm-hmm. or something. I think that's how I got it. I believe I saw, I might be wrong about that, the Dr. Mercola actually interviewed that doctor, and either that or I saw it on Newsmax, and I don't remember for sure now. It's been a while. And I don't have the book. It's out in the kitchen. Because the book has a number of recipes in it, so I keep it out there, and once in a while I look at it and see if there's something in there that I like to do. So, anyway, I can't remember the author.
Okay. Well, and if any of you watch, I don't know if any of you watch Fox News Channel, but Bill O'Reilly has been endorsing this book for a few months now.
Yeah. That's true, too, yeah.
He mentions it, and he's a believer. It opened his eyes.
Well, he lost a bunch of weight by cutting wheat out of his diet.
Yeah.
So I bet you genetically modified food makes you gain weight.
I would say so.
The body cannot digest
it. Yeah, and that hence the name of that book, because so many people do have a belly on them, and sometimes it's called a beer belly, and that's for maybe another reason. But there's people that don't drink beer that have beer bellies. So where is it coming from? And I believe that's one of the points that book is making. It's coming from the wheat that we're eating, without knowing that it's something that really has been changed from the way it used to be without most of us knowing it.
Wow.
Scary, huh?
Yeah, it is very scary. Another thing here, it said avoid at-risk ingredients. If it's not labeled organic or verified non-GMO, avoid products made with ingredients that might be derived from GMOs. And the 8 GMO food crops, Ruth, I think, has a slide up for this one. Well, it's actually in Dr. Blaylock's latest letter, too. The 8 GMO food crops are corn, soybeans, canola, cottonseed, sugar beets, Hawaiian papaya, and that says most of the Hawaiian papaya, which shocked me, and a small amount of zucchini and yellow squash. GM alfalfa is also fed to livestock. So I guess if we're eating the beef that's getting the GM alfalfa, you know, boy, oh boy.
Do you think organic beef gets that?
Repeat that, Donna.
Do you think organic beef has genetically modified that they fed them at all, or probably not?
Yes, I think that's from...
Unless it says USDA organic. Remember, wasn't that those labels that we went through last week?
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to look on...
Yeah, I think I might have sent that. I hope I sent that list out to everybody, but about the different labels. And, you know, what are you really getting? And if it says natural, it means nothing. Natural means nothing. It needed to be. I'll see if I can find that article again. I know I picked up my beef over at, my ground beef over at Trader Joe's. It's from New Zealand. I think they're pretty strict in New Zealand. And it's very, very good. I picked that up. It's, you know, frozen over there at Trader Joe's. I like to have that in my tacos or chili. And, you know, we don't eat a lot of it. Gone are the days of the half-pound hamburgers and that kind of stuff. We just don't do that.
This is actually changing the subject. I probably can't do this, but it's not come out yet. Maybe some people have gotten the winter issue of the Meekin Family magazine. If not, you can go online and look at it. And on Facebook, how they talk about the health trends. And they're talking about focus on healthy lungs and skin. And one of the things they're talking about are the energy-saving fluorescent bulbs. And they're found to produce increased ultraviolet. And I noticed the other day when my husband was changing our fluorescent light bulbs, which I hate, those new little wriggly round, you know, ones.
Yeah.
And I noticed there was, like, cracks in it. Little cracks on the outside coating. And it says here that that's what it's doing. It's causing, it's emitting ultraviolet radiation from the contact fluorescent light bulb. And when they randomly selected from different suppliers as a result of detection damage in a phosphorus coating, is potentially harmful to human skin. But this is a really good article they have, this issue of health trends. And it's talking about airborne hazards of housekeeping. Good bacteria are good for lungs, too. And it's also talking about UV harm that goes through the sunburn. But this is just a really good, interesting article.
Okay, good. That's our latest Meekin magazine, right?
Right, you can go online.
Yeah.
Okay. What page is that?
Page 24, the health trends.
Page 20. Mm-hmm. Okay, health trends, okay.
Haven't bought those squiggly lights. I thought those were the ones that had the mercury in them, too.
They do, and I hate them. And they even say they probably emit mercury into your home, you know, into the air. And the thing is, they're all made in China.
Oh, good grief. Well, my husband Larry said a long time ago, he said, no, we're not having those bulbs. He had read somewhere, I wish he would have brought me the article, about... they don't even, you know, they don't even want you putting them in the, you know, in the garbage.
Oh, right. And they say if you break one, it was on TV once a while back when they first came out. They said, well, if you break one, you're supposed to suit up and treat it as a biohazard. You know,
oh,
the biohazard team literally is supposed to come into your house and scrub your house down. But that's what they think in that area.
Oh, my gosh.
And it gets me, because I live in Virginia. And in Winchester, Virginia, they had a huge light bulb factory where they made the regular light bulbs, and they went out of business, so all these employees lost their jobs. And I don't know, I just like the old light bulb. I'm sorry, but I just like the old ones.
Yeah, well, maybe Nikan's going to come out with some more of our lights, I hope.
Oh, I have to say something. I'm sorry. Get too excited here. I went to the ophthalmologist last week. My husband and I did. We've been using these lights, the Kinko lights, ever since they first came out. And you know, our eyes have not changed any. My doctor had told me, he said, you know, you just need your glasses for reading. You don't really need to wear them all the time. So I thought, But I noticed at night or when I drive, it's It seems to be blurry looking on my glasses. I see better without my glasses. And our eyes have not changed at all since these lights have come out.
Wow, good.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if the sleep mask doesn't contribute to that, too.
Uh-huh. Well, Ruth has been using magnets around her eyes since we first got in, long before sleep masks. She's got that a little band that's got little pockets in it, and she put those super minis in, and she swears. I mean, she knows that her eyes have gotten better.
So, oh, yeah. I believe I heard her say that now that I think about it.
Yep. Yep.
I try to wear my sleep mask, but I always pull it off in my sleep. But I will say this, since I guess being a diabetic, your sugar levels, you know, they go up and down, they fluctuate.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes my eyes are blurry, not too often, but you know what I do? I put my sleep mask on, and that helps it. Or I use the power mag, or I use two super minis. It does work. It's like you immediately clear up.
Wow. Good. Good. Okay. I know when I use that sleep mask, if I have to get up during the night and use the ladies' room, that it's when I open my eyes, pull off that mask, it's just like, I mean, I can just see as clear as can be. So that's not true when I haven't been wearing my mask. Okay, you guys, hey, we went past the time. Thank you, Donna. I'll send this non-GMO guide out to everybody that I have emails for that are on this call this morning. And you guys have an awesome day. Whitney said Ruth's coming back Wednesday. I don't know if that means she'll be flying Wednesday or if she'll actually be back in town. But anyway, we'll all be here tomorrow morning again. And, oh, who's doing tomorrow's call? Well, if Ruth isn't here, I guess I could go over this flame-fighting chemicals abundant in our house dust and sofas. I can cover that if you guys would like to hear about that one.
That would be good.
Okay. I'll put that on my desk, and that's what we'll talk about tomorrow.
I have one other point. I do really have to run, but it's been so interesting today. I haven't taken off yet. And that is, I called up the GMO guide that we talked about previously.
Uh-huh.
And was comparing it with the one that you had on the screen, and it's very similar, but there are differences between the two. I don't know if one's more recent. I think they may be from the same source, but they're put out by different outfits. So I don't know if you want me to send that to you again, Mary Lou. I think I did send it to you once, or maybe Monty did. I'm not sure.
I did send it out to everybody. Is it non-GMO or was it GMO?
It's a non-GMO guide, and it's very similar. The page number is a little different, and it adds some things in the beginning. But I was able to find most of the pages on that.
Okay.
At the same time you were doing the screen, they were very similar. The lists were very similar. Obviously, they're from common sources. So... it's good to know that there's more than one organization out there that's doing this. So maybe only having one is necessary, but it's information.
I wonder if we go ahead, Donna.
I saw the same thing after I emailed Ruth when I went back to this document that I saved on my computer, and I thought, oh no, Monty's already discussed this before. But then when I looked further, I did compare the document, and this one is a little bit different. So
it is a little different.
And this is the winter 2011 edition.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I wonder what the other one was.
This is put out by responsibletechnology.org.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the other one is, it doesn't say what.
Was it Dr. McCullough?
I don't know where it came from. I might have it. It's a non-GMO.
Well, I know I've got it because
it says here, non-GMO shoppingguide.com. That's where the...
Well, this what it says, too, on the front of this one, it says non-GMOshoppingguide.com. So I bet you it's the same group then.
Well, on the last page, there's a different reference to where to go for questions. I noticed when you were talking about it, that last page.
Okay, but are they all the same people that endorse it? This Nutiva and West Soy and Eden and...
Well, yeah, that page was a little different between the two.
Huh, okay.
I mean, there was an overlap, but it wasn't the same. And I didn't, you know, I was eating and I wasn't really trying to say which one's where on this one and not on the other and vice versa. But they were different from each other.
That's just like an environmental working group. The Dirty Dozen, they added green beans and I think kale to it. They updated it, you know, that little pocket guy.
Kale?
I know it's green beans, but I can't remember if it's kale. Organic kale. I think it was kale because I was told that it didn't really matter when I looked it up if you ate organic or non-organic, but now I think I believe it was on that list. I'm 100% sure, but I think it was. They did add green beans.
Okay.
Well, best thing to do is just get organic whenever you can.
Yep.
All right. Well, I got to go, guys.
Okay, me too.
I don't watch it either.
Well, thank you.
Have a good day, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Donna.